Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt proposal number 65 and seek to prohibit the taking of wood in a portion of 20C.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Proposal 65, section is 20A and 20C roof regulations. Effect of this proposal would be to increase the size of the stampede closed area, and the stampede closed area is closed to taking wood. Not specifically in this proposal, but related issue, and in some of the following proposals is includes the Union Canyon closed area. This proposal was submitted by the superintendent of Denali National Park and Preserve, and there was a report given, I think, early on in this meeting about that. Our position is no recommendation, and I also wanted to point out at this time that this also addresses proposals 55 through 61, and also 63 and 64. Real quick, I'd just kind of show you in relation to where we are now, Fairbanks and the game management is 20A and C. The area that we're talking about is down here in this southeastern portion of Unit 20C. This is the stampede closed area, and then the Indiana Canyon closed area is right here along the eastern boundary of 20C. And so the expanded view of that, the area that we're talking about is just west of Healy, and it's in what's called the Rift Townships, from the Savage River to the west. Here, this is about 92 square miles, the stampede closed area, and the Indiana Canyon closed area here, about 30 square miles. This is the old park with the wilderness. There's no Rift take hunting or trapping in the old park. However, for subsistence purposes, there is the opportunity to take wolves in the park additions, which include this area here. Our rationale: this is an allocation issue. There was a detailed analysis done in 1996, cooperated by the National Park Service. At that time, the National Biological Service, which is an arm of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Fish and Game, they indicated that with the opportunity, not measurably influenced by reductions in harvest adjacent to the Denali National Park and Preserve, and that analysis is still applicable today. Existing biological data show that the harvest of wolves outside the park is not a problem for sustainability of populations of wolves and packs within or outside the park. Harvest by trappers has increased adjacent to the park, but not all of the harvest occurred within the proposed buffer area, and not all from packs that are available for viewing by park visitors. This closed area encompasses lands outside the ranges of packs that are primarily within the Denali National Park and Preserve. And viewing opportunities for the public in the park depend mostly on where wolves den, where they make kills, and the predominant vegetation types along the viewing routes. Trapping outside the park has not been documented as a factor that affects viewing opportunity in the park. There have been cases of incidents of wolves carrying traps or snares that were reported by the proposer, but these can be minimized through ongoing trapper education efforts. One of the other issues is louse infestations in this area, and the harvest of wolves adjacent to the park may not increase the incidence of louse infestation within the park, as feared by the proposer. Like we've seen in Unit 20A, moderate levels of harvest in adjacent 20A have not resulted in increases in louse infestation. Local trappers and hunters had always used the stampede in the Indiana Canyon closed areas prior to prior to their closure. The number of hunters and trappers that were used in these areas prior to the closure is not known, but likely low. And as a result, overall harvest of woods and trapping opportunity would be little affected if the areas remain closed. And the Sanford area is managed under the Tenenbaum Basin Area Plan, which includes recreational hunting and trapping opportunity. And I just put those out there. Those are just some of the issues, related to this particular issue in the buffer area. And just to kind of summarize that, it is an allocation issue, and it's really not a biological issue. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Board members. I'll comment on it a little bit. Well, the proposal, what will happen if nothing is done, indicated it might be a sporadic but temporary lowering of wolf population numbers along the park road. So temporary is the key word to me there. There's a lot of testimony by park and testimony by the 60-some people that submitted written proposals against this area being opened back up. Related to the viewing of wolves and the revenue of the state and to the park service of and the state of people coming there to see wolves and other things. And it's my contention that the same number of people come, or even more, regardless of what we do with the wolves, it's not going to impact the number of people there. Yes, it'll upset a few people that are very passionate about wolves. But, I asked, when this buffer was set here a few years ago, I asked one of the testifiers if this would do it, if that would be it. And they said, no, we'll be back next year for more, and so we put a moratorium on it. I don't think it's an answer to this problem. I think what it is, the answer is the boundary is the boundary. And I think we need to enforce the park boundary as the park boundary and decide to be at that. The nation's going to war and killings over boundaries, I think boundaries are important, and we need to have them. I'm going to not vote to continue the buffer or expand it or do anything to eliminate it. I just don't think there's any reason other than people's personal compassion and emotion for wolves that perpetuates this thing, and that's not an issue that I'm going to support. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I've been on the board for 2 years, and I realize that a federal wildlife service is different from the park service, but, I keep hearing, we need to work together, compromise, but it seems like it only goes in one direction. We have animals, populations across the state that are in trouble and need some help because a lot of the calving is occurring on federal land, but there's never a budge in that direction. We started out with about 2 million acres for Denali Park, and then it was increased to 6 million, and where does it stop? So I agree with the boundary's a boundary, and until we see some compromise in the other direction, maybe it's a good thing to trade for something down the road or something, for some more predator control in the areas that we really need it. So I wouldn't support this.
Ben? Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to dance around the trap. I'm just going to jump on the pan and I've been a member of in the wolf wars for a long time. And some of the proposals that were by the one side that wanted to expand the buffer, there was a rollback in certain areas. And so that everybody knows where I'm coming from, make everybody mad, I will not be supporting any expansions, and I will not be supporting the elimination of the existing status quo boundaries. And when the time comes, I'll make my argument on that. But I just want to argue about every single one of these, That's where I am. I like the status quo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to bring into this discussion the law. And the law, as I see it, is that that's a subsistence area. The trapping that goes on in that area is a subsistence activity, which takes high priority in this state beyond all other user groups. And there might be one little caveat to that, and that's the term reasonable opportunity was told to me. And I would maybe appreciate the Department of Subsistence to comment on, does a trapper in a trap line, their definition of reasonable opportunity, you know, versus, you know, trap lines are established and sometimes, you know, traditionally can be passed on from generation to generation. Maybe you guys can further elaborate on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would probably be better to get Kevin to give the real, bona fide, genuine definition of reasonable opportunity, but I think from subsistence division perspective, from my perspective, when you start to close in an area, when you start to remove opportunity, reduce time frames for hunting, limit opportunities to certain sexes, all of those reduce opportunity. So if you have a shrinking of an area, the board has to determine whether or not reasonable opportunity is still provided. And so from my perspective, all of those things work to remove reasonable opportunity or limit opportunity.
I'd like to follow up on that too. On when it comes to trapping again, like I've said before, is an individual or sometimes a partnership. And when you're trapping, you're maintaining some country, and trappers maintain and farm their animals, understand where they cross and their habits, and that's what makes them a good trapper. And to take the opportunity for them to take coyotes and wolves in their traditional trapping areas out there and say, well, you can go to another area and get your wolves that you'd like to subsist off of, it's fairly unreasonable, because now you're encroaching in another man's trapping area or management area, and that creates a lot of conflict. Again, I think it's pretty clear that that's the intent of the law, is to have that priority in that subsistence area. One other thing I've been very curious about and haven't found the answer to yet is, when they were able to make that park boundary the way it sits today, why was that rectangle left out? It would just have been so easy for the people making boundaries at that time to take that little piece of land. There had to have been some historical significance to leaving that area open as state land.
Kevin? There's been testimony about that in the past, Mr. Chairman, and if I remember it right, somebody else might want to put it in the RC if I'm getting it wrong, but or correct us on the sidelines. But as I remember it, there were originally plans for a road, or there were discussions of a northern road going into the park to ending up near Cantusia, I think. That never came about, but that's one of the reasons why it was left out.
That was my understanding, recollection. The road was going to go through there, and that area there would be where the development would be for the hotels and the service inside the park. Of course, it never happened. That's what I'll say another word or two. And I know if we do this way, it's going to cause a little hullabaloo, and especially amongst the department's professional staff and their peers in the park service and other areas. Darn, I just don't feel that the argument they put forth really has any merit. The number of wolves is really insignificant to the wolf population in the state. And every time we have people before us that have said, you've got the last wolf in the trap out there and it's gone, the wolves were back in a year or two, and it didn't really affect them. And I don't think the public that comes to Alaska is going to come here or not because they really don't see a wolf. I don't think it's going to hurt the economic part at all. I just can't see that. I think a lot of that is just people have stirred themselves up so much in this thing that they've just got themselves so passionately involved in it, they don't know really how to deal with it in the other way. I think the only thing left to do is to stop this thing and set a moratorium on it and go, all right, things. You know what? I know it causes some grief among some people, but that's the way I'm going to vote on it. Ted?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, proposal 65, I can't support the addition of more areas in the boundary, and I'll hold some of my comments for the rest of it. But, you know, one of the things that I'm really concerned with, and, you know, having been on the board for a little bit of time now, and was previous 6 years ago, what I'm really concerned with is the continuation of the park coloring rules right against the eastern boundary. And I think that needs to be seriously looked at, because you have these study animals right on the eastern boundary. Everybody that's been involved with this study knows that they go out of the park. They're subject to trapping, whether in the buffer or outside of the buffer, doesn't make any difference. They keep moving these forays out of the park, and they're going to get trapped. And I think that a serious look at the research efforts and designs should kind of concentrate on, if you're going to study wolves in the park, why not move the study to the interior or the western part and quit collaring wolves along this eastern boundary? Because it's just never going to end as long as we have these tagged and marked wolves. Then the comment, and I tried to get a little bit of information from people that testified, and there was some provided, not as much as 6 years ago, but there was quite a concern with photographers. You know, here you have these highly visible wolves. People go into the park to photograph these wolves, you know, and they have this nice big shiny collar on them, and perhaps I don't know if you're tagging wolves in the park or not, but anyway, that you have these marked wolves, and there's been some concern about that. There's a little bit of public testimony concerning that, and that's another thing. If you're going to have a natural system, you know, I find it, at least my way of looking at it, I find it somewhat offensive to have these natural wolves in a park that are all marked. And if, I'm not a big-time photographer, but I do like to take photographs, and, you know, I'd rather take a picture of a wolf in a park without a radio collar on. So there's a couple of issues that really have bothered me on this one.
What's the question?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. I just wanted one comment there quickly, is that, that this particular proposal deals only with the Stampede closed area and related issues in the Canyon closed area, so I'm not quite sure what the best procedure is to deal with that, whether to include that in this discussion or whether to go to to a later proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I can clarify Proposal 65 to the best of my understanding, if we vote yes on this, we'll increase the Stampede portion of it. If we vote no on this, that little part on the east of the Stampede will not be included, and we'll still have the original buffer to deal with in another proposal. That's my read.
Mr. Chair, that's my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Call roll, please.
Final action on proposal number 65. Grissendorf?
No.
Sager Alba?
No.
Judkin?
No.
Brett?
No.
Bradley?
No.
Spraker?
No.
Hoffman?
No.
Proposal fails 0-7.
Mr. Chairman, due to the action taken on proposal 65, I've moved to take no action on proposals 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60.
Second.
Mr. Chairman, let me clarify that. Those proposals are just the next ones on our roadmap, and then I would want to bring up 61.
Any objection? No. You can include 55 in that too?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
55, 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60.
So good.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt proposal number 61. This seeks to eliminate the stampede. Mr. Chairman, let me recall that. I misread. I'd like to take no action on proposal 61 as well.
Second.
Any objection? No objection? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, I'd like to adopt proposal 63. This seeks to eliminate the stampede in the Nana Canyon closed area in subunits 20A and 20C.
Second.
I guess I already said that I'm going to say it applies to this area the same. Do you have anything to add to it? I won't be supporting it.
Al? I'll just reiterate that the stampede closed area, I believe, is not in compliance with the statute, that not being able to take wolves in that area, and coyotes, they both have CMT findings on them, that it's in violation of the statute under subsistence.
Further discussion? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, when I was involved in this 6 years ago, just to provide a little bit of history, but I'm going to dwell on this. We had about a day or more, maybe a day and a half of public testimony, and I think something in the neighborhood of 5,000 people that wrote in opposition or wrote in support of expanding a buffer, creating a buffer for viewing of wolves in the park. This last go around, we've had, you know, some people testified, not very many, and we probably had, I didn't count them, but, you know, several, three or four pages worth of names here. We had a petition that may have had up to 350 from the Denali citizens group, and we've had a lot of people with a lot of interest in this closed area. And I feel that as my position on this board is I'm here to represent all people in the state, and I listen carefully to all sides. At least I do my best to listen to all sides. I'm not in favor of increasing the boundaries, but I voted in favor 6 years ago to leave these boundaries, this buffer in. And to give you a little bit of history on that, the buffer was actually reduced to about half of the size that was actually requested in 04 when it was passed. I'm also very concerned that if we eliminate the boundary, that it's going to come down pretty heavy on the trappers. If the trappers get into this area and take a fair number of wolves over the next couple of years, you know, I can see this playing out every time there's a bus of people driving through the park where the bus driver's asked, why didn't we see any wolves? And the pat answer is going to be, the boy game eliminated the buffer regardless of how much biological good it is or how much it does to protect wolves. But the pat answer is going to be that, yeah, we lost the buffer and, you know, the trappers have taken the wolves, so now your opportunity to see a wolf is gone. And, you know, I will, Mr. Chairman, labor this much longer, but I look at this as a very small piece of Alaska that we are willing to provide so people think they have a better chance to view wolves in the park. You know, we're going to impact a few trappers if it's there, but one of the trappers that traps in the area testified right here just a few days ago, and he said, you know, I'm good with the lines. You know, I've adjusted to them. You know, in 07 we caught 12 wolves. And I've adjusted these lines, so these boundaries are working for me. They're working for other trappers as well. So I'm not going to support this total elimination. I would like to just see the boundaries that we've had in place remain in place. And again, I'm just trying to recognize the interest and the comments of a diverse group of people throughout our state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't add much more than what Mr. Sprigler has said on this issue. But all I know is that after we finally decided on the boundaries that are presently in effect, that everything just kind of cooled down, people adjusted to the lines, adjusted to the trapping situation, adjusted to, you know, it seemed to have worked. And you can even tell this time that there's still some concern, but it's gone so long positively on this that we've accommodated a large user group, and that happens to be the public. And interesting enough, a lot of that public that enjoy going into there are Alaskans, you know, not just outsiders. The question is, well, the subsistence issue. Well, the trapping restricts are only on coyotes and wolves. The question then comes, well, what other opportunities are there for the trappers to get coyotes and wolves? Well, there's certainly plenty of other territory they can go in. And, you know, it doesn't... I just hope that we as a board recognize that there are other users of this. No use causing a difficult situation for the state on the issue of predator control, because this was kind of a soothing thing in relation to our other attempts to, you know, do predator control on wolves, to show that we were sensitive in areas where it made sense, and sensitive in the areas where it made sense to call wolves. And we've been trying, or at least I've seen that we've been trying to go that way to accommodate all users where we can. And I think it would be a mistake. The social implications, the economic implications, if we eliminated these two areas from the existing.
Teresa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In considering all of the proposals that have been offered with regard to this area and this issue, the one thing that I keep going back to in my mind, and the one thing that's common to all of them, is where to place boundaries. And in thinking about that, what seems to resonate with me is that this board has the responsibility and the authority to make allocation decisions, and that authority and responsibility is vested in us via the statutory language, which flows from the Constitution, and those are state documents, and our responsibility is for state interests on state land. Same goes for the federal side. And so I guess my point in that is that even though we've listened to a great deal of testimony from all interest groups, and all of the interest groups and individuals have personal values that are very important to them, and therefore those values are important. But I think that consideration of those values, which we do give to every proposal that comes before us, those considerations are secondary to our responsibility to manage for state interests and to manage for conservation of the resource. And so, even though values are very important to all people as far as the use of state resources or public resources, our responsibility and our authority is on state land. And so, creating boundaries and buffers that essentially achieve the purposes of national, of parklands, refuge lands, wilderness area, federal areas, is really, I think, outside of our territory and should be. That belongs to the federal side. And I think the other key point that board members should keep in mind here that I've thought about a great deal is that we have talked about various compromises, you know, a larger buffer at one time, a smaller buffer, and now sort of reaching this point of equilibrium that people have learned to accept. But I think that we need to go back in history, not very far, about 25 years or so ago, before all of the federal parks and conservation system units were created in Alaska. You know, there was a time when those areas didn't exist, and they were created by Congress and by presidential action. And I remember that time. I can remember being taken out on a sheep hunt in the Brooks Range with my dad, and we took a break and we sat back on our packs and we looked around, and he said, he kind of waved his hand over the whole area. You know, of course, we were up high, so it was a beautiful view. And he said, "What's going on in Washington right now will lock all this up." And it's not, at this point, completely locked up and doesn't entirely exclude use, but there are a lot of uses that changed or that were restricted as a result of that action. And that was a huge compromise for the people of the state, but they didn't really have a lot of public input into that process. And so, you know, in terms of perspective, I think it's good to go back in time to then and recognize that over 6 million acres were basically assumed by the federal government. And, you know, the management of those lands are the business of the federal government, and they manage for federal values and the values and purposes that are established in federal law for parks and refuges and monuments and preserves and so forth. So, you know, I think that the kind of the overarching thing that the board really needs to consider is our responsibility to the state and our authority given to us by the state, and recognize that same authority and responsibility in federal areas by the federal government. And the one other point I'd like to make, and I appreciate your latitude here, but when we created buffer zones, we have been essentially implementing federal management on state land, and or for federal interests on state land. And normally when you're in a contractual relationship and you manage for a client, you get paid for that. And instead, the state pays for that management and conducts that management on behalf of federal interests. And so I think, frankly, I think that the boundaries, the buffer zones, even though they were established in the interest of recognizing people's values, which are important, I think the greater consideration that we have to give here is the responsibility we have to manage for state interests on state land and recognize the same respect on the federal side and within federal boundaries. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. Ben?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, we have a lot of special use areas and control use areas around the state. Unfortunately, this is called a buffer, which might cause a problem, definitely a political perception problem. But in this controlled area, the buffer zone, the status quo buffer zone, the only thing that's restricted is trapping of wolves and coyotes. All the other activities that we associate with Alaskan outdoor activities is available. So if you get away from the concept of, oh, buffer, 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 no, it just says there's two methods of harvesting animals in the trapping area that you, two species that you can't go after. And, you know, this is an interesting question that, as I said, we have a lot of people that, in Alaska, that use that park, tie their businesses and activities in with that park. It's a great revenue source, and we actually, well, I'll confess, I kind of went along with it in the beginning to appease and get sides that really wanted to expand it to that we would do something and then allow them to, or allow us to go out with the permit control. At that time it was 19D. And to, you know, set things up and go, and we certainly have done that. So I could not go along with elimination of the what we've done, but there certainly is arguments on both sides, without a doubt.
Thank you, Ben. Board members,
call the question.
Oral.
Mr. Chairman, in the course of deliberations on proposal number 63, the board has considered financial impacts to private parties.
Kevin?
I just note that there was a lot of testimony about potential economic impacts, Mr. Chairman, and urge that board members, I'm not suggesting any more discussion, but just keep that in mind as you vote.
I did refer to that to some extent in my first discussion about the number of people involved, but I didn't think it would impact them, that it would come here anyway.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, didn't we call the question?
Yes.
You're allowed to debate after that?
I'm just responding to the attorney. Make sure the record's clear.
Thank you.
Final action on proposal number 63, Judkins?
Yes.
Barrett?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Spraker?
No.
Hoffman?
No.
Grusendorf?
No.
Sager Alba?
Yes.
Proposal carries 4-3.
Mr. Chairman, I move to take no action on proposal 64 due to the action taken on 63.
Second.
Objection? No objection.